Today's episode is brought to you by Grinding Coffee Co., a Black LGBTQ+ owned coffee business that donates a portion of every sale to charity. Coffee is imported from around the world, and they pride themselves on great customer service for a small team. Use promo code PLP22 for 10% off your order.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt, Frenchie, and McBridge, I forgot what order of people I had just introduced, are all here. We're talking IndyCar, some news. We're going to talk a Texas preview. I don't know if anybody has a non-racing question to start it off.
Oh, yes. Not that I'm leading the episode, but I kind of am. But no, it's not even a non-racing question. It is just a forum for us four to get our feelings and frustrations out about a certain topic that came up this week, and we're not trying to turn off our viewers. However, host Mike
got trying to turn them on?
Pixel this week, and
yeah, that was uncomfortable.
His messages are now green, and it has ruined our group text forever.
It has.
Sad trouble.
To the point where I'm not even sure I want to text him anymore.
I mean, you can always DM me on Twitter if it makes you feel happy. I don't
personally. I just need to know why you made this choice.
Like, yeah. So we're not going to go through the what. We're going to just skip straight to the why.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to?
No, that's not it. No. Why did you do that?
It's not even a Samsung.
It's a...
Get out. Get out. What?
I can't. This is technically my show. So you can't, I can't leave. You could leave.
Ooh.
All right.
Snark back 2.0.
That didn't answer the question though as to why, other than I wanted to.
I don't know. I don't have like an amazing reason. I just wanted something different.
Did you go on to Bing or something and look up reviews since Google was going to be biased as to why the Google Pixel was?
That's actually a pretty funny idea, to be honest with you, but. No, I did not do that.
Because if you Googled it, I'm sure it's like, oh, greatest phone ever. Love it.
Do you know Bing pays you to use it? Like, they literally, you can rack up points and you can turn them into gift cards. I have a friend who uses Bing exclusively to search because you can turn those points into gift cards. That's how desperate they are.
I'm going
to
start using Bing. Yeah.
I'm going to start using Bing.
I'll take gift cards for Bing usage. I'm all about free money.
It takes a really long time, I think, to get the points to actually turn it into something.
Wait.
But yeah,
I just came up with a great idea. So you know how many times people tweet things and you're like, oh my God, you could just Google this instead of like looking it up. What if you just send them like your Bing affiliate link? You could be a millionaire in like 12 years.
All right. I'll send you mine, host.
Okay. So
that way, when we do our next trivia night, you can just look up all your answers on Bing.
Well done.
I love how you work that
out. Are we surprised? So before we continue on, Matt, since it was our non-racing question last week and we talked about concerts, you went to your first concert last week. I'm just curious, what was it like as a first timer? I know, yes, that's what she said. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm honestly just curious.
It was, I mean, I think Dua Lipa is one of the most talented artists out there. I don't think I've heard a song of hers that I don't like. There's been a couple I'm like, I don't need to like listen to that on repeat or add to my playlist, but most of her songs I think are fantastic. And yeah, she's got a way about her. She just seems like a really fun person, and like I said, super talented. So it was my first time. I went with my wife and it was okay. I mean, her songs are really cool, but I think the experience as a whole, I just didn't get a whole lot out of it. I liked listening to her songs and seeing her, but the whole concert thing is just not for me. I don't like, there's too many people, and I know it's like a thing to do at concerts, but anytime they're like, what up, Minneapolis? Ah! It's like, I just don't get it. Like, I just don't understand, but maybe that's just because I'm not a fun person sometimes.
No, you are. You are. Don't put yourself down like that.
I also didn't know that there was going to be pre-axe or whatever you call it.
Opening axe? Pre-axe. Yeah,
opening axe?
I don't know what you call them. Fluffers? I don't know what the fuck, but Fluffers. It's just... It was just like the ticket said 7:30, so of course we're the type A people that showed up at 7:30, and it wasn't till like 9:20 that she hit the stage, and we had no idea. So we walked in and like, oh, it's not gonna be sold out tonight. I was like, oh, I think everybody else is on the same page but us.
Wait, is it also Sammy's first concert?
I mean, you just said this.
Something along the lines of like, we didn't know that there would be openers and that she like. Like, that's common knowledge that the main act will never start until after 9. Like, if the concert starts at 7, you're not seeing who you paid for until 9 o'clock.
Now I know.
Now you know.
Go to a smaller show next time. I think I love, like, I don't know, you go to a smaller venue where it's maybe 100 people or something, and you can get right up close to the stage. I mean, usually the acts are not of the popularity level of a Dua Lipa.
French?
But if you like some smaller bands, no, I don't tend to go to French concerts. Just like some guy playing an accordion.
An accordion? That's what you went with?
It seems like a French thing to do.
All right. Well, we got actually a lot of IndyCar stuff to get to today. Let's start off with the biggest news that we got in the last 2 weeks, because I know you guys talked about Iowa last week and the engine delay / chassis delay.
Yeah.
As well as you didn't work into your interview with Hunter McElroy that you have like a crush on him. I was kind of disappointed.
I do, but he knows we send each other text messages about how much I want to snuggle with him.
Well, I hope he doesn't have an iPhone.
I was gonna say, God, I hope he's not hoping to see you typing to him.
Well,
I'm
so,
not
yeah,
gonna
biggest...
not ever be bitter about this. I just hope you know this.
It's really stupid.
We can't have our group text names anymore. I was like, who the hell is texting me? Because I didn't know that it was you and Frenchie. Like, I'm just real angry about it. You just screwed up our whole thing.
The only positive I got out of this is if you're in a group text, you can do like the whole like his text message thing, and then it pushes to everybody that it's a like a text. So then we can get those giant chains going of liked, dislike, exclaimed, question, like, dislike, like. Like, we can get that whole thing going.
So bad.
I'm excited. I'm actually excited about that. So yeah, the biggest news that come out of the last 2 weeks is that IndyCar and Mark Miles are allegedly talking to Milwaukee about a return possibly as soon as the next season.
That's the biggest news? That's what you went with?
Well, duh, because the word Milwaukee and IndyCar were mentioned in the same sentence.
Oh, I thought
yeah, because, you know, everybody over the age of 65 blew up on Facebook when that news came
out.
What
does Shannon say? If everybody who talked about going to Milwaukee went to Milwaukee, we'd sell it out six times over?
Yeah, literally. But they won't. That's the thing, right? Like, we'll put Milwaukee back on the schedule, and they won't sell out because everybody who's like, oh, I would go to Milwaukee won't. Go to Milwaukee, which is the entire reason we don't have Milwaukee anyway.
I have nothing to add to that.
I got nothing to add to that.
I'm not wrong.
Okay, let's just put it. Okay, on a scale of 1 to, let's say, 10. 10 being Sharpie than now. What are the odds it comes back next year?
3.
4.
I'm going to be positive and say 7.
I was going to say somewhere in the 6 range. So let's go Frenchie.
I mean, I would go. Like, I really love Milwaukee. It's a good race. It's a crappy track.
It's got 4 wheels and an engine.
Like,
so
the venues, the venue is not great. But
isn't it the oldest in the country? One of the oldest?
It's something. There's like a whole ass fair there. But it's like, it feels like it's like a demolition derby track. You know, have you ever been to like a county fair where like they have a track there where they half-ass race? That's kind of like what the entire venue feels like.
So if it comes back, Shannon will be there. Make it happen. What do we think about, speaking about the future, apparently it has been determined that if IndyCar gets that third manufacturer, it's going to be Toyota, despite the Toyota chief in December saying no. But apparently he was lying. Do we think that that's actually going to happen, or are we thinking there's maybe some strategery playing out here?
So, yeah, are you referring to the Racer article from a few weeks ago?
Probably.
Yeah, so I'm not super confident. Maybe by, I guess maybe delaying it a year might help, but I think kind of like we touched on the when I during the engine delay last year, I'm not super confident in Toyota. Depending on who you talk to, it's either like, oh, it's a done deal, it's going to be one of their kind of, you know, sub brands under Toyota, or no, it's not going to happen at all. So I'm not, doesn't leave me like super confident.
When were they last 05. In IndyCar again? Okay. So they won the one championship with Dixon, and then that was their extent of their success, or?
I think, was Damata 02 with Ford?
Yeah, with Newman Haas, I think it, well, that might have been Toyota.
Because I remember when Ganassi went to Toyota in 2000, everybody's like, what is wrong with you? Like, Toyota was in the cellar from like 96 to 98, and then 99, they actually weren't half bad.
Yeah, but Montoya did not have a good season in 2000.
And then Honda wiped the floor with everybody in IndyCar in 05 and then and 04. Jan, any thoughts? Think it's going to happen?
I'm not super confident in it. I know that everybody really wants it to happen, so they just keep talking about it in hopes that, like, it's one of those things where, like, if you continue to bug somebody so much, they say yes.
I like it. Like, let's do our part and bug Toyota on Twitter.
Like, I just don't know that that's really what they want to do, but maybe if so many people just...
Yeah, so we'll keep our eyes on that. But that, I think that'd be obviously a phenomenal get because Toyota is one of the biggest manufacturers in the world. Let's get some driver's news here. So we'll hit two quick ones fast. J.R. Hildebrand is going to be on the ovals with AJ Foyt Racing. Calderon will stick to the road courses on the season. So that means Hildebrand's in this weekend. And then Ed Carpenter has also added a third car to Ed Carpenter Racing for Ed Carpenter. So he will drive the number 33 car at the ovals this season. Who do you think is more likely to do better between those two, since I think they're the only two oval-centric drivers this season?
Oval specialists.
You're right. I apologize.
Aces. I saw somebody call them aces. Did you
oval
see that?
Oval aces. Yes. I just...
Ugh. Oval aces.
I need a bucket to yak in. Jesus.
Yeah, no. Definitely. Oval aces sounds like a bad minor league, like...
Yeah, seriously. Team. That sounds like a demolition derby for... I'm not going to finish that sentence.
I think J.R. Hildebrand will be better than Ed Carpenter overall.
Ed Carpenter of Ed Carpenter Hands Racing.
Is that a Bob Vance Vance for Duration sort of throwback there?
Shannon said, J.R., what do you think, French?
I don't want to agree with everyone, but I really think it's hard to say Ed just based on his recent stats. So I'm going to go with JR. I mean, JR hasn't necessarily had the success in terms of numbers that Ed has had, but I think put them against each other and JR still has more talent.
Yep, I'm going to go with Ed because I don't know what you guys are on about, but that's neither here nor there. I actually think Kirkwood's going to beat Hildebrand, but I don't know if that's a hot take.
No, mild hot take, but not like not crazy.
Hildebrand will be better than Kellett if that makes anybody out there feel better.
Not really.
I think Ed. I just don't know. I think he's due. I think, you know, given the genetic makeup of him and how special he is with the specialistness of the ovals.
I feel like you're saying
my only question. I mean, I got a lot of questions, but it's a new car. Like, this isn't the car he's used to driving on said ovals. This car hasn't even seen a track yet, has it? So we don't really know that that's the case or that it's good or that they have a good engineering staff on it, right? Like, this is a third
car. Yeah, yes, but could it be the car that ECR has run as their third Indy 500 car for the last handful of years?
Oh, you mean like his entry?
I mean, maybe, but yeah, maybe, but like, he always drove the 20.
I thought you were talking about like the new car. Chassis. I'm like, what?
Right? No.
I was like,
sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the third entry. Yeah, the third entry has been what? Indy only for quite a while.
A handful of years at least.
Yeah, so it's never seen any other track.
Okay.
And Ed's not ever driven.
I, I see where you're coming from now. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good.
That's okay.
I
think
it's
a good. I'm sorry. I did it. Like, it was a lot happening in this brain. That's okay.
I think it's definitely good for the crew to kind of get up to speed before Indy, which is what they used to do at Kansas way back when. They'd like, wow. Kansas would have like 28 entries.
Can we go back to Kansas instead of Milwaukee?
How dare you? You just said you'd go.
I'd go to both.
I will go. We'll also go to Kansas.
So, do you want to know Ed Carpenter's most recent finishes at Texas?
Because lighting probably rattled them all off to us and he was drunk.
All right, because they're not amazing. I mean, since his win in 2014, it's been like not even in
the
top 10.
Was he caught up in the riffraff last year in the second race?
I don't even remember. Does it say?
I don't know.
He finished.
So.
He finished 11th last year.
That was
in the second race and 17th in the first.
Damn it, Ed. All right, well, he's going to make me look good, so it's all fine. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, and another piece of driver news that I don't know if necessarily huge in IndyCar, but a couple weeks ago, Kevin Magnussen was testing with Ganassi in IndyCar, and now he's driving for Haas in Formula One, replacing Nikita Scumbag, which is probably the biggest upgrade in the history of racing, I might add.
Yep.
Do we think that kind of closes the door on Kevin Magnussen ever coming back to IndyCar?
Yep.
Oh, we got an emphatic
I hadn't even
no
considered that door was open.
He is 29 years old. He's like a year
Magnussen
older than me. He's
29?
Born in 92.
I thought he was like 36.
Yeah,
he's got so
like
much
four.
Time left.
Yeah.
Good lord. Okay, then.
He can do F1 for a long time. He's born in 92 and then come back to
watch
IndyCar
him, like,
if he feels like
to,
it.
Like Ferrari or something. How cool would that be? He was like out of the sport and then he just goes to Ferrari. That'd be so dope. We shook his hand, Mike.
We did. He was he was one of the better interviews we did that weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's super cool for Magnussen. Formula One races this weekend, so we'll definitely give that a watch. If you want to come listen to me being cranky on the Formula One episode, please feel free to listen to that tomorrow. That was a good time.
He is very, very spicy.
Apparently the F1 episode has become less toxic since I left, and then I brought it back. So
you brought
you're
it back
welcome,
to very angry
world.
Levels.
Enjoy your Friday. And Peacock listened, or I guess NBC listened. So they're going to do an uninterrupted, as long as we want, kind of post-race thing for Texas this weekend on Peacock. So yay, internet, I think.
Are you sure it's as long as we want? I thought it said it was just 30 minutes.
Oh, I thought someone told me it was going to be as long as we wanted.
Hold, please. Let me look. I don't know that that's factual. But that is it. I could be wrong. Hold on.
So while she's looking up that, do we want to discuss Colton Herta?
Let's see. He was on the list somewhere in here. Well, yeah, there's kind of a multifaceted. So let's just start with Andretti to Formula One first. So Michael Andretti apparently is making progress and is the support for the Andretti Global entry in Formula One with the FIA license apparently is starting to gain a bit of traction. So that's good news for that effort and for Michael Andretti. The Colton Herta update is that Colton Herta has been given a reserve role within McLaren to test for them so that he can get up to speed a little bit quicker and work on his super license. Of note, it's not Pato O'Ward who has been given any sort of opportunity to test with the team because Pato allegedly is looking elsewhere for a seat next season. And you'd have to think that if he is trying to leave McLaren, that it has to be Ganassi or more likely Team Penske that he is looking to step into. So we have a lot going on there. It's a lot of moving parts that has multiple effects in a lot of people. So where do you guys want to start with that?
Can I take a TV timeout real fast? Sorry. It does say the program to be streamed exclusively via Peacock after the 12:30 to 3 p.m. race broadcast will run for an undetermined length of time, though IndyCar's website lists 30 minutes. So
that's all.
So you were both right.
My memory stopped. I just gave up and was like, all right, cool.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just.
No, it's okay.
We were going to go too far.
But we want a 7-hour post-race show. So, come on, Peacock.
Like, listen to me. We want post-race. And then it's like, here's post-race. I'm like, that's not good enough.
I know, I'm waiting for that to happen. Like, only 30 minutes? Come on!
That's usually how that works.
Okay, Pato, Colton. Mike and I were talking about this earlier today. I don't quite understand it, truthfully. Like, I don't understand where Pato's going to go, or if he's just super unhappy with the direction that McLaren's going at some point. I don't know. Like, I really thought that he was going to be there for the long haul until he went to F1. So to think that he's thinking about leaving that, which feels like his best bet to go to F1. Now, is he reconsidering F1 altogether? Somebody help me.
Go ahead, Frenchie.
Michael.
Which one?
Oh, fair.
The Michael.
Michael.
That's me.
Then you know
who.
So, yeah, I was saying to Shannon, this is something I've actually talked about with my dad over the last year or so, is McLaren strategy not always up to par. They had a couple tracks last year towards the end where they were kind of slow and not on the pace of, like, Pello and the other championship contenders. And we got to wondering, maybe he's just... You know, he's in the prime of his career for the next 4, 5, 6, you know, plus years at least, while he's still young. And if now's the time to jump to a you know, Ganassi or Penske, maybe now's the perfect time. And if not, maybe he ends up at Andretti and Andretti F1 in the future. But my gut feeling is that he's just frustrated at some of the kind of like silly mistakes or strategy decisions that haven't worked out in their favor. And from what I've been told that Pato, you know, saw the Colton offer and turned it down. So clearly there's a lot going on that he's kind of just frustrated with. And I'm not saying I'm like 100% right, but that's just my gut feeling. Matthew, I saw you had your hand raised, and since I'm teaching here, I will let Matthew go first.
So if you were Pato, would the strategy mistakes and kind of like, you know, maybe a bad call here and there, would that be enough for you to force your way out of McLaren and be like, I'm on the top three team, but F it, I'm out?
Yeah. I want to win. I want to win championships. I want to be a more consistent contender.
I mean, the guy finished second in the championship last year. It's not like he was like eighth.
But the setup has been so difficult to drive, and even he says it. So I think he's probably unhappy with the.
But it's like a work in progress. I mean, it's not like they inherited the greatest team of all time. They're putting a lot of resources and effort into getting it to where it needs to be, and they did a lot of stuff in the offseason to like add staff to get them to a place where they can contend with Penske. So I don't feel like Rome was built in a day. I get that he wants to win now, but like, you know, it's not like they were terrible last year.
I almost feel like he was so close to winning last year that he thought he'd come in this year and be off the bat, you know, top contender, probably win St. Pete. And then when St. Pete went to shit, now he's like, okay, now I'm shitty about this, because his car was garbage all weekend long. And so I really feel like up until St. Pete, he was all McLaren, all on board. And then when that did not go his way, it was like something switched and he was like, yeah, get me out of here.
I would really hate for the first race of the season to really dictate his future proceedings, because, I mean, last year at St. Pete, he finished 19th. I don't particularly remember if he got spun or something. I think it was one of those bad strategy calls that Mike alluded to. But, you know, I fully expect McLaren to really be good at Texas. Rosenqvist was sneaky good at Texas last year, barring a couple of things that were out of his control. And then, you know, obviously Pato won one of the races. So I would really hate if St. Pete did that. I bet there was something that
I'm
maybe...
not saying it did. I just feel like something's happened. Something's happened in the last
four weeks
that
has made him
nude
be like...
somewhere.
He posed nude
for Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, he's got a blueprint of how to get kicked out of McLaren if he wants to. There's several blueprints.
Right.
On that.
All you gotta do is take your clothes off.
I got nothing to add here.
But also
this act-
Go ahead, Frenchie.
Okay, I was going to say that I think this actually might suggest that his F1 intentions are still pretty serious, because to be able to win the championship, maybe he feels he needs to go to another team, and that was what would lead him to F1 to get those super license points.
Or what if a Herta award combo in F1? Oh, that'd be so great. And
instant favorite team right
Mike
there.
Harding would be somewhere. Mike Harding would be somewhere being like, I did that.
That's what I think. So if he's trying to get out of McLaren, what if he's trying to take over? Let's say Devlin doesn't have a great year. They've got a spot open for him. Pato goes there. He's teammates with Herta for a year while Andretti gets their F1 shit together, and then they both go.
So I think the one downfall you're playing there is that you said Devlin's going to have a bad year, because I thought he was going to be the best thing ever.
No, I'm saying, I said, what if? It's okay, or, I mean, Rossi's out. Right? Rossi's not going to stay there.
You said that, Shannon? How'd you even speak those words?
Rossi's not going to stay at Andretti. He's going to go somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
So he can have...
He's going to Floyd.
I think Frenchie wants smacked at Road America. I think that he's just... Or Hickey wants smacked at Road America. Like, he's
just
waiting.
Damn,
Frenchie, I was going to say...
Me.
Frenchie just...
I'm sorry, Frenchie.
Frenchie just called a stray.
I was reading your name.
Frenchie's catching strays over here.
Yeah.
But seriously, we know that Rossi's not staying at the end of the year, right? Like, that's pretty fairly common knowledge. Okay, so let's say Devlin stays. Great, whatever. He's... God. And Rossi's gone. Pato comes to Andretti. Colton and Pato drive together for a year, figure out how to be teammates, and then off to F1 they go.
That would be really awesome. I think the two of them as teammates in F1 kind of figuring it out together would be helpful for both of them.
Yeah, I agree. And they have, you know, a good working relationship already from their years racing together as Andretti and Delight. So, yeah.
So that'll be something to keep our eyes on. And, you know, again, we were completely wrong about the Andretti to Formula One thing a long time ago. So we do apologize about that, because we are still getting that
terrible
wrong. Toronto has started allowing some public events to take place scheduled for the spring and summer. The IndyCar race wasn't specifically mentioned, but that points to good signs of the IndyCar race to Toronto potentially happening this year. So we will keep our eyes on that for everybody. One thing we forgot to touch on / did not have a chance to talk about yet was Will Buxton.
Oh, jeez.
Willie B.
Telling you, when I come on the show, it's more toxic, so it's fun. Will Buxton. I feel like I need to pull up his tweet just so I make sure I'm not misquoting him.
I just feel like my stress level rising right now, and that was like 2 weeks ago that he posted it at this point, and it still irritates me.
I can't. I'll find the official, but basically he's along the line saying that he talked to a bunch of drivers at St. Petersburg, which he did attend, and said that a majority of the drivers that he talked to were not in favor of the aero screen being on the car, and that they could do just fine with just the halo. At which point, a couple of drivers like Graham Rahal, Joseph Newgarden, I think Will Power,
Tony Kanaan,
and I know Sage Karam wasn't racing, but Sage Karam was like, huh? Dalton Kellett.
Rossi said he didn't talk to him.
Rossi.
Hinch. I think we can count Hinch.
We can count Hinch because he's raced with it. Basically, it was like, what the f-? So where are you guys at? And I'm going to pull up his official tweet just so I can not misquote him directly. But where are you guys at with this whole Will Buxton controversy, Jenna Fryer telling him to piss off, things like that?
I think that was the best part, is watching fellow drivers, IndyCar drivers and media like Jenna just be like, what are you talking about? Because clearly he did not talk to 15 drivers. I would put money on the fact that he did not talk to 15 of the 26 drivers racing in St. Pete. Are there some who probably don't like it? Yeah, I imagine there's at least a few that aren't a fan for whatever reason. But all in all, we've seen its safety come to, you know, save people a few times. I don't really know how to word that, but you know what I mean. And, it was a solution designed not for the DW12. So when this new chassis does come out, I think it will be a lot, first off, a lot more aesthetically pleasing, but also might have better cooling, et cetera, and still be just as safe. And actually, I think the person who said it best, I forget if it was Twitter or on his TikTok, but Dalton Kellett had a really good explanation on the aero screen debate. So
I think it was on TikTok, yeah.
Yeah. Also, follow Dalton Kellett on TikTok because he posts a lot of really cool informational IndyCar content for
Do not for make me start cheering purposes. For Dalton Kellett.
It's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening. It's unfortunate, but it's happening. I truly think that every single driver is perfectly aware that the aero screen with this current chassis is not ideal, right? This chassis wasn't built to have an aero screen added to it. We all know it's too heavy. We all know it's hot. They also know something else is coming. So I find it very hard to believe that anyone in the paddock would go on record saying, absolutely not, let's nix it. Like, I just, did they maybe say, yeah, maybe a halo would have been better on this current chassis, but here we are. Maybe, right? Maybe, just for cooling purposes alone. But I really find it hard to believe anybody's going to go on record and say that.
Yeah, so I did have his official tweet here. He said he was responding to a tweet about the postponement of the engine. In IndyCar, he said, in the short term, almost every driver I spoke to wants the aero screen scrapped. They all said they preferred the halo option because for all the benefits of the screen, the impact it's had on the car in terms of drivability and setup has been a huge negative. I don't want to sit here and say that he was lying about the 15 drivers. I'm sure he did talk to 15 drivers. Now, whether those drivers were active drivers, whether they were maybe like a Dario Franchitti type or something, who was a driver at one point.
Or whether they just said the aero screen makes the car heavier. I mean, is it possible that somebody said, the aero screen makes it super heavy, that the halo probably wouldn't have been that way? Is that possible? Absolutely. Is that them saying we should scrap the aero screen? No. It's just him doing really bad reporting.
Yeah, I don't think...
That's the key.
I don't think he was, lying. I think he maybe just taking stuff out of context.
Stretch the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, his language was way too aggressive or very strong language for probably, what we saw in terms of who he talked to. And when you're Will Buxton and have as many followers as the IndyCar series on Twitter, you can't... That's irresponsible to report things that way and make it sound like that and stir up controversy if it isn't as strong or as solid as you make it out to be.
Which is why...
Yeah, you can't say, drivers said that we want to scrap the aero screen. You can't say that. You know they didn't say that.
Which is why I didn't like Will Buxton 5 years ago. This is all coming back to me now. That's why I didn't like him. And then I think it was host asked me like a month or two ago, do you like Will Buxton? I'm like, yeah, he's come around. He hasn't done anything in a while to piss me off, and here we go again.
So, yeah, that was me, Frenchie, and Cassie Johnston were talking about Will Buxton because I think when he was doing some F1 reporting, on something before the Barcelona test maybe, and Cassie was like, oh, why does everybody hate him? He seems okay. And then that came out, and she was like, oh, now I get it. So yeah, it's. I applaud everybody who stood up to Will from the media side and the driver side. Thank you very much. Okay.
From what I hear, he is a big IndyCar fan, so yes. It's odd that he would do something like this in terms of just kind of starting stuff, basically, because I really think he likes the series and likes the drivers, so I think he'll probably consider this more carefully in the way he tweets things in the future.
Better.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at @PitPass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Host is going to angry tweet him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, time to get on to the best race of the season. To quote one of my favorite movies, there's good tracks and there's bad tracks. And then there's 50 feet of shit. And then there's Texas.
Glad I'm going.
It's actually pretty fun in person. I'm not going to lie. Like
I've been. It was
it's
cool.
Fast. It's really cool. I mean, we'll start with the our favorite topic about Texas, which is PJ1. According to Racer, IndyCar is going to test different remedies going into the race. They're going to try and drag a steel mesh device over the areas of PJ1. They may try a chemical to wash it out, which was going to have the same effect as dragging that, whatever you want to call it, rug.
Tire dragon.
Yeah. And, well, I think it's just like a steel thing they're literally dragging on. It's like, give it abrasion or something.
I'm picturing a cheese grater, like a giant cheese grater.
And then the third one is that they may have the cars run up onto that groove in a special practice period at reduced speeds to try and help put rubber into that groove. They also might do a combination of all three. And now, is that going to work? Probably not at all. No.
So I was on a Spaces with Connor, and he and I were talking about that third option. And at this point, the concern is, one, who's supplying an extra set of tires for us, because we're not going to use our allotted race tires. Two, who's going to guarantee that you're going to pay for this chassis should somebody wreck, because we're all 27 cars on PJ1 at Texas. So none of the team owners have signed off on that third option. So it's still possible, but I feel like there's a lot to be risked if they do that.
I feel like it, hypothetically, and you know, you would have to start out at like 50 miles an hour and go like super slow, and maybe you build your way up to, I don't know, 100. I'm not a.
And like, do you send one car, two cars, three cars out at a time? You don't put all 27 down at once. Like, that just feels, I mean, you know, Will wrecked there just in testing because it's just not good.
Yeah, and then if you send like one or two cars out, one of them is going to be Newgarden, and that snaky snake Cindric is going to figure out some like fuel strategy number when he's out there doing this.
Snaky snake.
The solution, the problem has no solution. The solution is repave, and Texas has already said they're not going to do that. So I think the other solution is let's just call it the last year of Texas and go about our day.
Milwaukee's the
solution. Yeah, Milwaukee, Kentucky, Kansas, Fontana,
Cleveland.
Get out of Texas. This
Nazareth.
Unless they repave, this has to be the final year of Texas. Wash your hands, call it a day. Like, this track is horse shit. It doesn't produce good races. It hasn't produced a good race in I don't know how long, 5 years, whenever they botched it. So they just need to call it a day, do this last one, hope we get out with everybody safe and call it a day. But that's just my opinion.
It sucks because Texas used to be so fun.
Yeah. And
it used to be my favorite race.
It's going to be like a Milwaukee good old days kind of thing, but.
Hasn't it been on the schedule since like 1997?
Yes. And it like used
it's
to
been
host,
one of the longest.
It used to host two races a season too.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I really don't see it going off the schedule, but I guess maybe it could if the new ownership doesn't try to keep it.
Well, yeah, and it's the final year of its deal too.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, it's gone.
Well,
it's
and
gone.
If they don't do anything
really think
with
so?
The track, if they're not going to do anything with the track, if they did something with the track, I think it would stay.
Yeah,
if they are refusing to do anything with the track, it doesn't make sense for us to spend the money to go to a track that is not beneficial for us to race on.
Yeah
you got to compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
compromise.
The pros and cons. So we're talking post repave. The pros and cons of going to Texas was the pros. Eddie Gossage was a good promoter and it financially worked for IndyCar. The cons was everything else. The racing sucked. The attendance wasn't good. It usually when it wasn't a night race, it lost its kind of lure. I mean, mm-hmm. There's not one discernible positive thing to take out of Texas other than a financial thing, but I think at a certain point you can't sacrifice the product just to make an extra dollar. So I really think,
and nobody's making an extra dollar at that point because everybody's crashing.
Yeah. So
it's just costing our teams
Milwaukee
a significant amount of money.
Woo.
Kansas.
Woo. So that was one Texas item. There was a test not too long ago at Texas with limited drivers there, and Scott McLaughlin was the quickest. For those who forgot, because St. Pete was like 74 days ago, Scott McLaughlin does come into the race with the championship lead over Pillow. But I'm going to go ahead and assume that the top 10 after this weekend is going to be probably pretty shaken up. There'll be a lot of moving and shaking throughout the field. So, is there, well, I guess Frenchie and Host are going this weekend. Host, have you ever been there?
No, this is my first time to Texas Motor Speedway.
What? I've been there.
And I know you guys are staying, it was the Hilton downtown, if anybody needs to find you or get into your room, right?
No, thankfully. I don't really know where we're staying, to be totally honest with you. That's Frenchie handled accommodations this weekend, so you can
oh, it was the Doubletree.
Whatever the nicest hotel is downtown, that's where we're
yes,
going to be.
Yes, just be really friendly with the doorman when you get there. I did tell I did tell Frenchie last night that you guys do need to go check out Deep Ellum in Dallas. My buddy and I and Sammy went there when we visited last year. It's kind of like a district out there just outside downtown Dallas, but it's within walking distance. Good time. Other than that, Media Center's pretty cool. It's in a suite overlooking the track, so that's cool. Track food's all right. I think their loaded brisket fries were the best.
I'm really glad it's not in June, because when I went, I think it was 2019, and even at nighttime in June, my girlfriend and I were just like drenched in sweat. It was
the weather
awful.
Actually looks pretty good this
yes,
weekend.
Yes, weather
especially
looks good and no rain, so we won't get a 4-month race.
Yeah. Predictions?
Is there anything else we got to get to before we get to predictions?
I don't think so.
All right.
Oh, I have one quick question. Sorry. So Jimmy Johnson makes his IndyCar Oval debut this weekend. What is what's a result this weekend that you would say is a success for Jimmy Johnson? Is it top 10, top 15? You know, what does a good result look like for him?
Well, this is one of his five chances to win, so we got to pull, got to cross our fingers.
Hey, but he's won a lot at Texas, right? This isn't a track that he's never driven on.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I'd say for him to be successful, he needs to be in the top 12.
I'd say, what do we got? 26 cars?
Seven.
27 with Ed.
How many do we have? Oh, we have 26 last week or whatever,
yeah.
74 days ago.
Seven cars at Texas. Woo! Is going to be a madhouse.
Okay, I would
itself.
Say top 17 would probably be good enough.
I think if he's in the top 20, it's a success, honestly, given the way he's been going recently. It's just going to be slow, steady progress.
I think go ahead, Host. I know you're about to say like top 10.
I was going to say top 15. Thank you.
Top 5? What?
Top 5. top 5 or get out, loser. I mean, it'll be nice to see what he does, and he's got really good feedback and teammates coming his way, so we'll keep our eyes on that. The Oval debut of Jimmy Johnson.
I sort of hope he does really well, just so people will stop being such haters. Not that they will be.
It's not a hate. Okay, there's like contingent of people who are on Twitter who are like, get out of the series, this guy sucks, why is he so bad? And there's like a contingent of like, I think top 15, top 20 might be where he's at. And I don't think that's necessarily hating. Or we could just call friends.
No, I don't mean that's the hating. I just mean the people who are like, oh, Jimmy Johnson's out here doing, and it's just like, man. Or the ones who are like, oh, but Jimmy Johnson has a ride and there's all these dirt racers that could be doing this. And I'm like, shut up. God's sakes.
I saw a motorsport.com article the other day that was actually pretty interesting, where Al Unser Jr. was quoted as saying it's only a matter of time before Johnson starts to achieve top fives in NASCAR. Or not in NASCAR, in IndyCar, sorry. because that he's going to have like a light switch moment is what he says. That he's a super talented driver and he's proving how tough it is out there and he's with one of the best teams. So it's just bound to happen eventually.
Yeah, I'm not sure it works like that, Al, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know. Fair enough. Predictions?
Hang on a second. That's not an opinion. I don't know. Fair enough. Okay.
Has host said anything this episode? I feel like he's just sitting over there.
I've just said plenty, but I'm also sitting badge and judging when you guys ramble on for a while. I don't know. I don't agree with Al. I don't really have too much to add to it, but maybe top 10. Maybe he'll get a top 10 this year on an oval, but I don't think multiple top fives is a thing that's coming.
That would mean he'd have to be in the top 5 for every oval, and that seems
question.
Why is Hickey laughing? What did I miss?
You just roasted host. Such an asshole way.
Me?
He's like, have you said anything this last hour, sir? It's like, oh, that man has a family.
I just mean because I feel like I haven't heard him say anything. I wasn't trying to roast
him. Host, lay us with your hottest hot take right now. Go. We're not even drunk.
His voice.
No hot takes. We're gonna ignore comments like that, and we're going to continue on.
I wasn't saying anything. Whatever.
All right. Well, who's going to win this weekend, y'all? I feel like you have to get y'all into your. You gotta get y'all into your vocabularies.
Oh, yeehaw.
Romain Grosjean.
No, wait, no. I'm not. Let me angry tell
That's
you.
A hot take.
All right, he's in there.
Why are you typing like that?
I just think that's
so aggressive.
He's my first out prediction. I'm just gonna go ahead and type that in there. All right, Frenchie. Are you picking Grosjean's too, or who are you picking?
To win?
Yeah.
No, I don't think Grosjean's going to win. I think he might do well, but I'm going to pick Graham Rahal to win.
Nice.
Ooh.
Host?
Let's go with Alex Palou.
Nice. And I
feel so bad. I always forget about Alex.
Why would you say that out loud?
In my takes.
I'm going to say Pato.
Nice.
Who is your... Oh, I'm going to go first Dark Horse Top 10 because I'm a snake. I'm going to say Rosenquist is my Dark Horse Top 10.
That's a good one.
Kirkwood. I heard of Kirkwood.
That was me.
Host?
J.R. Hildebrand.
You could have said Ed.
I could have, but I won't.
And
he's leaving that to you.
LaFrance.
Is Simon a Dark Horse top 10?
Because
he's with Meyer Shank now?
Pretty good there last year.
All right, then I will say...
Well, I guess so did Rosenquist.
Connor? Does Connor count as a Dark Horse top 10?
Yeah, I mean, it's his first non-Indy 500 oval for Red, so...
Yeah, I think he's going to do well.
Most struggle host...
Let's go with willpower.
French?
I think that Christian Lundgaard is going to have a difficult time in on his first oval.
Sheenan.
I was going to go with Ilott.
I was waiting for Hickey to say rent-free after he said Lundgaard.
No, because I think Frenchie likes him.
That's just you and I.
Who do I think is going to struggle?
We're only giving him space.
I think... I don't know. I think Newgarden might have a tough day. First out, I had Grosjean. Host?
If I'm going to pick somebody different than my struggle pick, I will say, God, I don't know. Graham Rahal.
Sato.
Frenchie?
I think Elio's first out.
I forgot he was even racing.
See, how can he say that and I can't say those things about Alex?
Because his hatred of Elio is well documented.
That's fair.
You don't hate Alex, you just forgot about him.
No, I don't hate Alex, not even a little bit. I just forget.
That would be so sad.
Let's see.
I don't.
He's unhateable.
I don't.
And then finally.
He's unhateable. Like, you cannot not like him.
Best rookie, Shining. You can say Kirkwood again if you want.
I can. Yeah, I'm going to go with Kirkwood again.
Frenchie?
I think Malukas is going to do well. I think he's ready to bounce back from last week.
Host?
Shannon's forgetting about everybody.
Who's a few weeks ago.
Shannon, I need a list, I think.
I think what we're seeing here is everybody who's like a friend of the show, Shannon is forgetting about tonight.
But then there's Ed Carpenter who's like, I hate that guy.
Yeah, well.
It's mostly because like I really want them to do well, and so I feel like if we add them into our predictions, it all goes to shit no matter what. So if I just don't talk about it, which if you've noticed, I haven't talked about someone else for the race either, I'm playing a different strategy this week.
Okay, I will take DeFrancesco.
And I am taking four wheels and an engine.
I had to do a pause, like, who?
Yes.
And I think as long as you guys don't pick him, I might pick him every single week for the rest of the season.
So he's rent-free in your head.
He's not like a good way.
We're going to become best friends.
I know, in like a good way. I kind of like love the guy, so.
Yeah, well, still rent-free.
That's positive rent. I'll take that. I'll take that ownership.
You know what else is rent-free in our heads is Evergreen Podcast Network.
Hey!
Because they are so lovely.
I thought you were about to say something
about... terrible segue.
I thought you were about to say something about Cody.
No, Cody, when he listens tomorrow, will understand why Hickey just brought that up. He gets dumped on for a solid, like, 4 minutes towards the end of our F1 episode. So, sorry in advance, Cody. I'm not actually sorry. So, everybody... enjoy as much as you can Texas weekend. If you're there, come say hi to Frenchie. I'm cautiously optimistic right now. Say hi to Frenchie and I if you're there, or let us know where we should eat or drink or whatever when we're not at the track.
You gotta have some ranch water.
That sounds
God, what?
What?
It's not like ranch.
About this yesterday. It sounds.
It's not like ranch dressing and water.
What is it?
Frenchie knows better than me, I think.
Yeah, I looked it up because when you said that, it sounds disgusting.
Yes.
Because I was picturing like dirty water that just came from a ranch.
Yep.
But
it's got alcohol in it. Don't worry.
It is a Texas style tequila highball drink made with lime, tequila, and Topo Chico.
Oh,
sponsor Pato.
I'm in.
Yeah. 100%. So take your prejudgments away and try it.
I thought it was like a horse walk through some water and you like just pick up that water and take a drink of it.
I thought it was dressing.
What do you guys think of the state of Texas? Like, disgusting. Do you think they're just like...
You don't want to know what I think of the state of Texas. Mm-mm. It's not...
We'll save that maybe for a members only episode.
Members only have listened to what Shannon thinks about the state of Texas.
In 5 years.
Shannon thought it was Hidden Valley Ranch water.
Uh-huh.
I think I've been watching too much Yellowstone recently.
Oh, I just finished Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Didn't even occur to me about like a cattle ranch. Not even
go to
a little
the King
bit.
Ranch in the 460s and get some ranch water.
Yeah. I also thought it might be like some kind of moonshine. Like, oh, it's the water that like the ranch hands make. Ranch water.
Is that like, what's that stuff that they make in jail? What's that called?
Toilet wine? Why did we bring up toilet wine?
Well,
Frenchie has killed Shannon.
Shannon will no longer be part of the show because she is slowly deceased from laughing. Anyway.
Oh, Frenchie.
It's also called Pruno, apparently. Pruno or prison wine.
Oh boy. Man. Oh no.
This is a racing podcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody. Yeah. Well, and not right now. It's fun. I don't know. Everybody have a lovely weekend of racing.
Bye.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.